welcome to it. Your bullet points for this day, this Wednesday, the 29th of March, 2017. A Democratic collapse. Unforeseen by some, but a Democratic collapse. The DNC firing everybody. We've got that for you. Healthcare back in the news. Full repeal back on the schedule, back in the realm of possibilities. Sanctuary cities, the fights there. The war on coal. Ford investing in PETA. The People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals are on a killing spree. I can't make this stuff up. Also on the program today, we're going to have Todd Wood, George Landreth, Katrina Trinko, Tom Harris to talk about climate science and what's going on for real out there. It's all straight ahead, so buckle up and put on your helmet. This is The Steve Gribber Show.
This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is The Steve Gribber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gribber.
All right, my friends, it is Wednesday. Wednesday here on the program is the Steve Gribber Show. Glad to have you here. Full contact radio. If you're ready for full contact, you've come to the right place. This is not a safe space. This is a place where we get into it. We're going to get into it, man. All right, so there you go. I want you to know that the Democratic National Committee, complete disarray. Tom Perez has launched a major overhaul of the party's organization. I thought it was the Republicans that were in chaos and crisis, but apparently it's the Democrats in complete chaos. I mean, he fired everybody. Give me your resignations. Everybody here. Perez is the new guy, and he's the new sheriff in town, Tom Perez. He's got all the personality of a cat with its tail stepped on. He'll fit in perfectly. Party staff routinely see major turnaround and turnover with the new boss. That's what they've been expecting. But the mass resignation letters give Perez a different chance to basically retool and remake the DNC and no longer in Donna Brazile's image. Donna Brazile, now that she has been disgraced, her image has been, well, they took her picture off the wall, I guess. Had all her they could possibly take at that point. Apparently Perez is counting on a committee to review the process, decide who shall stay, if any. Of course, it all began with that big meltdown over Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the revelations of what was in different emails and how she had her thumb on the scale for Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders during the election last year. All of that. And then Donna Brazile, we find out, is sliding questions to a town hall meeting with Bernie Sanders, sliding Hillary Clinton's questions ahead of time to Donna Brazile, who came in as the temporary chair. She's since resigned her job at CNN. It's better than getting fired for cheating. And is not at the DNC anymore. So Tom Perez is the new sheriff, like I said. Sean Spicer's challenges with the media continue today, continuing yesterday with April Ryan, a reporter for the American Urban Radio Network. The American Urban Radio Network, April Ryan works there. And it got into a tough exchange, to say the least. A tough exchange, to say the least. Let's take a look at, and I want you to hear this between April Ryan and Sean Spicer. Because during the White House briefing yesterday, she started talking about Russia and the Trump administration and the investigation, and Sean Spicer didn't take it very well. It's clip 7. Let this go for a bit. Clip 7, April Ryan.
2.5 months in, you've got this Yates story today. You've got other things going on. You've got Russia. You've got you got wiretapping, you got...
No, we don't have that. You, I know.
On Capitol Hill.
No, I get it, but you keep... I've said it from the day that I got here until whatever, that there is no connection. You've got Russia. If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection. But every single person... I appreciate your agenda here, but the reality is... Oh, no, hold on. No, at some point, report the facts. The facts are that every single person who has been briefed on this subject has come away with the same conclusion. Republican, Democrat, so... I'm sorry that disgusts you. You're shaking your head. I appreciate it, but understand this, that at some point, the facts are what they are. And every single person who has been briefed on the situation with respect to the situation with Russia, Republican, Democrat, Obama appointee, career, have all come to the same conclusion. At some point, April, you're going to have to take no for an answer with respect to whether or not there was collusion.
How do you change the perception
we're going to keep doing everything we're doing to make sure that what the president told the American people he was going to do to fulfill those pledges and promises that he made to bring back jobs, to grow the economy, to keep our nation safe. That's what he's been focused on since day one. We're going to keep focusing on that every single day.
Condi Rice comes Friday. Condi Rice did not support this president. She did not go to the convention. She comes. What is on the agenda? And how is their relationship? Has it healed since 2006 when he used a very negative word to describe?
So here's what I'll tell you. It's interesting that you ask those two questions back to back. On the one hand, you're saying, what are we doing to improve our image? And then here he is once again meeting somebody that hasn't been a big supporter of his. Hold on. April, hold on. You, it seems like you're hell-bent on trying to make sure that whatever image you want to tell about this White House stays, because at the end of the day, let me answer. I understand. Okay, but you know what? You're asking me a question, and I'm going to answer it, which is the president. I'm sorry. Please stop shaking your head again. But at some point, the reality is that this president continues to reach out to individuals who've supported him, who didn't support him, Republicans, Democrats, to try to bring the country together.
Then we can stop right there. Here's the point. This woman would not let it go. She was on MSNBC later. She's, a hero to the left because she kept going to the same narrative. It doesn't matter what the facts show. It doesn't matter that there is no Russian connection, that this whole thing about a Russian investigation and so forth is made up. I mean, let's be honest, the Democrats didn't care much about the Russians and wouldn't care about them now if Hillary Clinton had actually done what she was supposed to do, which was win in November. But instead, a populist upstart billionaire real estate developer smacked her in the Electoral College, and they're still smarting. And people from the apparent American Urban Radio Network are part of that same conversation, thinking that they can make a difference and they can continue to deliver. And Sean Spicer is right. Sean's right. He said, you keep delivering your same narrative. You have something you want to come away with this from this conversation with. It doesn't change. He's right about that. I think Sean Spicer has some challenging days. I'm not sure he'll make it 6 months into this gig, but maybe he will. But it's clear that, you listen to a left-wing reporter like that, and the comments are the same. They're cutting him off. They won't let him speak. Let him answer the question, at least. 14 after, you're listening to the Steve Gruber Show, the Common Sense Hotline, 888-900-9966. Let's do this. We'll be right back.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
It's 18 after the hour, and I'll continue to diagnose the issues with the left. But here's a fine example as we continue with this conversation about April Ryan's exchange with Sean Spicer. You see, she doesn't care what the answer is. She knows what the answer is. She asked him a question at the press conference, not like she's actually looking for an answer. She knows what the answer should be, or what she wants it to be, or what she expects it to be, or what she will make it regardless of what he says. She will make the answer clear to everyone listening that she's right, Sean Spicer's wrong, and that Donald Trump is the greatest master spy in the history of America because he's a double agent for Russia or some such nonsense, right? All right, so there you go. Meanwhile, I'm gonna play this for you because I think you deserve to hear it. you deserve it. Here it comes. Speaking at a professional women's conference Hillary Clinton addressed sexism in the workplace and pointed out April Ryan's exchange with Sean Spicer as an example. It is clip 9, your hero, Hillary Clinton.
Where everyday sexism and structural barriers were once blatant, today they're sometimes harder to spot, but make no mistake, they're still with us. Just look at all that's happened in the last few days to women who were simply doing their jobs. April Ryan, a respected journalist with unrivaled integrity, was doing her job just this afternoon in the White House press room when she was patronized and cut off trying to ask a question.
She was cut off.
One of your own California congresswomen, Maxine Waters.
Speaking of which, stop right there. Enough of that. You know, you heard what happened to April Ryan. Maxine Waters, who is clearly in need of stronger medication, took to the House floor to talk about Donald Trump. Let's measure her, how she's doing these days. It's clip 6 with Maxine Waters. Go with that.
What am I saying? I'm simply saying that African Americans have struggled and fought historically. Many African Americans have paid a huge price fighting for justice and equality in this country, have died for it. I don't have to call the names of Martin Luther King and all of the others. We have paid a price. We have fought. But guess what? Despite the fact that America has not always been there for us, we have always been there for America. We have fought in America's wars. We have suffered discrimination. We've suffered isolation and undermining, but we stand up for America oftentimes when others who think they're more patriotic, who say they're more patriotic, do not. When we fight against this president and we point out how dangerous he is for this society and for this country, we're fighting for the democracy. We're fighting for America. We're saying to those who say they're patriotic, but they turned a blind eye to the destruction that he's about to cause this country.
Any minute now.
You're not nearly as patriotic as we are. We not only have fought in America's wars, have stood up for America, have been there whenever this country was threatened in any way. And we say now that this country is threatened with a president who does not belong there, a president who does not know how this government works, a president who goes down to Mar-a-Lago every weekend and plays golf. He's not huddling with the members of Congress and trying to figure out how to form a consensus.
Stop. He spends more time talking to members of Congress, promoting women business owners, peeling back blocks to the economy in the form of regulations from places like the EPA. He does more to help these people being you and I and everybody else in this country than the previous two administrations combined. He does more to get things done in a single day, meeting members of Congress, meeting business owners, talking to coal miners, rolling back EPA regulations, and the list goes on and on and on. Maxine Waters, every time she blathers on, I wonder if her people are just proud of their member of Congress. So the sweeping executive order from the Environmental Protection Agency, big news, of course, as those on the left are panicked because it's going to mean, you know, dirty air and dirty water, and we're all going to be, you know, poisoned here soon, which is complete nonsense, of course. What Donald Trump is trying to do and continues to do, despite what happened with the setting aside of the health care bill last week, he continues to move forward and he continues to get things done. And he expects to make a deal on health care, he says, even though the first attempt failed just a few days ago. Trump getting together with senators and their spouses at the White House, both Republicans and Democrats. He says the bipartisan crowd, a good thing, predicts a deal on health care will happen quite quickly. I know we're all going to make a deal on health care, says the president. That's such an easy one. Trump also sees potential for working with Democrats on other issues like infrastructure. That'll be an easy one, actually. Democrats love, you know, well, that's good for both sides. Democrats and Republicans will be all over that infrastructure deal. The real question is, how do you repatriate $2.5 to $3 trillion of overseas profits to get them back here, dumped into the economy and get things moving forward? That's the real trick here. Meanwhile, Ford Motor Company announcing $9 billion in investment, $9 billion in investment here, much of it in Michigan. Retooling three auto plants. We told you about that a couple of days ago. The stock market back up after 8 days of losses yesterday, plus 150 last time I glanced, sitting at 20,000 and change. Can you imagine, any of you investors out there, you know, 10 years ago, to imagine the Dow Jones Industrial Average north of 20,000, could hit 30,000? But if we're not careful, the downside of all of this is our $20 trillion debt could become a $28 trillion debt within 10 years. That's the bigger problem we face. Still have to deal with that. So much going on, moving so quickly. Just trying to keep up and keep you informed. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Glad to have you by for the conversation. The hotline number, 888-900-9966. As I told you, there was 100% lock that Debbie Stabenow would go with Chuck Schumer and oppose Judge Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch, for his nomination to the Supreme Court. Here's her comment. After reviewing Judge Gorsuch's rulings, it is clear that he has a long record of siding with special interests and institutions instead of hardworking Americans. Actually, Senator, he has a long history of siding with the law as written. She goes on to write, and therefore, in my judgment, he does not meet the standard of balance and impartiality. The point being is he rules with the law and not with what she would like. There you have that. Also, Gary Peters following her is exactly what I told you would happen. She would follow Chuck Schumer. Gary Peters would follow her. Peters said in a statement that after careful consideration of Judge Gorsuch's comments and his record, I cannot support his nomination to serve on our nation's highest court. An aide for Peters said he will also vote no on cloture for Gorsuch's nomination. Of course he will. By the way, there are 30 people now lined up to oppose Neil Gorsuch. All, of course, are Democrats. Going to my next guest now, Todd Wood is here, journalist for The Washington Times. Todd, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Steve.
We're going to shift.
Warm in D.C.
How is it in D.C.?
It's warm.
How warm is it?
well, it's going to be, in the 60s today, which is nice.
Very nice. Could have used that for the cherry blossoms. That didn't work out so well.
No, it didn't.
All right. So shifting gears, and I'm going to talk some foreign policy here with you, Todd, because that's what you know well. The top United States general in Europe says that the West should give arms to the Ukraine. Escalation there, plus we've got the Montenegro conversation going on, all kind of mixed into this exercises going on in Eastern Europe and so forth. What's going on with this potential of arming the Ukrainian military?
Well, I went to an event here in D.C. yesterday, and I'm hearing a lot of this from the foreign policy establishment. You know, that's a tricky one for me because I've talked with you about that before. Obviously, Russia is stirring the pot in the east of Ukraine and possibly looking to maybe annex the area or at least recognize it as an independent area, which is against what Ukraine wants. And it's a conflict. And, I have a problem with, U.S. weapons killing Russians, which would end up happening. So that's a tough one for me. I can see both sides of the argument, but it's going to be a messy situation if we start providing, real weapons into there.
The point being is if American weapons are killing Russians, then you say that could trigger something else, because we keep getting these rumblings out of Moscow that the Americans and the Russians are in worse shape today as far as the relations go than they have been in many years. And actually here, where did I just read this? That Russia and America are kind of ambling toward a nuclear war, says one Russian that I just read.
Well, that's the threat that's their trump card, pardon the pun, but that's what they put out there all the time. Just remember, we're a nuclear power, and because they can't match us conventionally. I mean, they've improved a lot, but they still can't match us in that area. So that's really what they fall back on, and they're using the threat of military action to get what they want, which is basically, I think, you know, to be seen as a superpower again on the international stage.
Yeah, it's exactly what they want. They want to make sure that they're relevant, I suppose.
Yeah.
As you look at Europe and you look at the tentacles, because Vladimir Putin would like to rebuild the once great empire. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so he has his tentacles out there, and whether it's in the Ukraine trying to see if he can find a pressure point or a weak spot or whatever, he'd like to put it all back together. So if he can get one chunk at a time, and with what's going on in the Middle East and Syria, where over the last 8 years America kind of fell behind and Russia asserted itself as the key power player.
Yeah.
I mean, it's changed things, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is the consequence of Obama's foreign policy. And yes, Putin has definitely put Russia back in the Middle East. They're looking heavily at Libya, some type of action there right now. And he's reestablishing, you know, basing rights, allies, influence, and the ability to influence geopolitical events. And that's what he wants.
The problem that he faces, if I'm not mistaken, in conversation I've had with you over a long period of time, they have some free cash because they don't have the debt, but they don't have a ton of cash, but they've got something they can free up and put towards military efforts if they wanted to do something in Libya, or they wanted to, you know, have some sort of mission into the Ukraine or wherever it might be. They've got some of these things, but they're still not on the same level as the United States when it comes to military. The problem with the United States military, clearly, we're in too many places simultaneously all the time. Plus, we haven't been funded well for a number of years. So we don't have the ability to step up and say, you can't do that, because he might just say, really, what are you going to do about it?
We're in a situation where neither one of us is going to invade or try to destroy the other. And that's why I think Donald Trump is exactly right, is that the existential threat to the existence of the United States is not from Russia at this point. It is from, you know, Islamic terror and a nuke going off in New York or D.C., I mean, or a dirty bomb or, you know, multiple mass killings. I mean, those are the people who are killing Americans at this point. So, you know, Russia is obviously trying to bring itself back to a certain level of respect, but it's definitely not an existential threat. However, in Europe and in other places, they are attempting to reassert themselves and take territory. So that's the choice we have to make at this point.
And are they getting a beachhead there? I mean, are they getting any momentum? You mentioned Libya. Tell me what that's about and what you think could happen there. Because Libya, ever since Hillary Clinton's policy to just kind of take the place down, they did. It's been chaos and tribal warfare ever since, for the most part, from what I read. What can be done in Libya?
Well, they are putting special forces in on the Egyptian-Libyan border. I mean, that happened a few weeks ago. We don't know exactly what they're looking to do, but they are backing one of the warlords in Libya and actually took him to Moscow, gave him a big tour of a Russian warship in the, you know, the Mediterranean there. So it's, you know, they're definitely doing something. What that will look like, whether it's just trying to put a puppet into the state and gain, you know, warm water ports and basing rights and that type of thing, you know, that could be what they're looking at doing.
Let me ask you. I mean, I think about, I mean, who's in charge of Libya right now? Do you have a name specifically, or is it continue to be?
The guy that, I forget the name, it's a UN-backed, I don't call it a government, but a regime, if you will, who owns part of the country. And then you have this guy, Kaftar, who is Russia supporting, which is basically a rebel faction.
So you got factional fighting. You've got gang warfare in many regards. I mean, there's no real stability there. And it makes me wonder if we should have just, you know, left Gaddafi in charge. Things have been pretty mellow there for a while. And since George Bush got him to say he'd give up his weapons of mass destruction, which Gaddafi did, and yet we went in there and meddled anyway and left with this mess.
Yeah, Hillary's footprints are all over that one, that's for sure. What was it? I've never seen her so giddy is when she was talking about killing Gaddafi. And, you know, what was the reason behind that? I don't know. I don't think we will know until Donald Trump gets in there and figures it out.
Well, there you go. All right, I'm going to take one quick break here, and then I got a couple other questions for you. Todd Wood with us on the program here, writes for the Washington Times. He also writes a lot of great books. We'll tell you about that in just a moment as well. 41 after here on the Steve Gerber Show. We'll be right back.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
Back on the Steve Gerber Show with Todd Wood here, author from the Washington Times, author of good books as well. We hadn't talked about North Korea much here, and I see that the Japanese have floated this idea of a preemptive strike against the North Koreans, which I'm like, you take a step back and say, really, the Japanese, who pretty much after World War II said, you know, we don't go anywhere, we protect ourselves only and don't get involved with any kind of war to speak of. For them to suggest a preemptive strike, Todd, is quite a leap forward and quite a statement.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, it means they're really scared, and that's a really serious situation.
And so we go back to Bill Clinton saying, well, we're going to sign this deal with North Korea. It means that they will never have nuclear weapons. Certainly didn't finish that way, did it?
No, it sure didn't. And who saw that coming? I think everybody.
Pretty much. Now, let me ask you this. Here's the question, though. Some people think that it's possible, but nobody thinks they're quite there yet, but they're not far away of having nuclear weapons. What do you think? Do they have them? How far away if they don't?
Well, they have them. The question is whether they can put them on an ICBM and miniaturize them or not enough to actually deliver a weapon accurately. You know, the answer to that is maybe in time, probably. So it's just a matter of time before they can really threaten our allies, and, you know, especially Japan, and I don't know if the Philippines are an ally anymore, but, you know, the West Coast, Hawaii, Guam, it's a problem.
So what are we to do about it?
I think missile defense is the answer. I think, obviously, pressuring them through possibly Russia or China, which we've talked about before, but I think if they start popping off missiles again, we need to shoot them down.
Yeah, you know, because at some point,
and I think we continue to build up that area, and that's the trump card, is to continue to build up missile defense, and China and Russia get really worried about it too.
You know, it makes them nervous, which, you know,
yeah.
We don't need a shooting war with either one of those people nations, but, you know, with North Korea, if you make a preemptive strike or something of that nature, I mean, the concern then becomes, do you kill civilians? What happens there? And Kim Jong Un, you know, how do you get him out of the way? And even if you did, who comes next? Who's the next despot in line?
Yeah, well, Trump has been being very unpredictable, which he likes to do. I mean, there's been reports of lots of different weapon systems being brought in and out of the area just to cause traffic and concern on the North Koreans' part, and to raise questions about what's Trump really doing. So I think he's definitely stirring the pot over there on purpose. So we'll see what happens.
Just to not show his hand, keep bluffing.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not going to heal itself, is it?
No, it's not. It's a real problem that we need a real adult to deal with, and I think Trump will be that adult finally.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out, but the world's eyes continue to glance at North Korea, but not looking at them too hard, because I feel that there are so many other distractions. People lose sight of North Korea on a regular basis. Maybe we don't in the intelligence community, but it makes me wonder how much we have our eyes on that situation on any given day.
I think James Mattis, General Mattis, is, I think that's the first thing he looks at every morning.
All right.
That's my guess.
And I hope you're right. And I've seen him operate, and the thing is, you don't hear much about him. He's just doing his best to make sure this country is safe. How can people find out where you're writing today and what's going on with you, Todd?
Well, I got an interesting situation. My books are being picked up by a major global publisher. So if you want some really good thrillers and want collector's items, signed copies, now's the time to do it, because you've got about a week. Just go to my website, ltoddwood.com, and we'll get them out to you personalized. But very soon, in a matter of days, the books are going to be gone for at least the first one. Currency will be gone, especially through January. Then they'll be re-released in stores all over the country. But if you want one of these original collector's items, just go to ltoddwood.com and we'll get one for you.
Well, there you go, Todd. Don't forget the little people when you're doing movies and so forth.
I'm just trying to be like you, Steve.
Well, just remember Gruber. He'll want a cameo in that film, you know. I'll be like a bartender, you know, in Karachi or something. All right. Todd, always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, take care. Cheers.
Yeah, bye. Todd Wood, everybody, a world traveler, writer, and apparently now to be distributed worldwide with his books, Currency, the first one you want to get your hands on. And some good stuff there. I wanted to mention, Before we got rolling out to the next break here, I wanted to touch on Donald Trump talking about the changes at the Environmental Protection Agency. Has people screaming, as you can imagine, in the environmental movement. The environmental activists are all up in arms. It's going to be dirty water, dirty air. We're all going to, you know, suffocate and be destroyed because he trimmed back the EPA budget. But here is the president talking about it. It's clip 10. I wanted you to hear from him before we got too hysterical about it. Donald Trump.
The action I'm taking today will eliminate federal overreach, restore economic freedom, and allow our companies and our workers to thrive, compete, and succeed on a level playing field for the first time in a long time, fellas. It's been a long time. I'm not just talking about 8 years. We're talking about a lot longer than 8 years. You people know it maybe better than anybody. We're going to continue to expand energy production, and we will also create more jobs in infrastructure, trucking, and manufacturing. This will allow the EPA to focus on its primary mission of protecting our air and protecting our water. Together, we are going to start a new energy revolution, one that celebrates American production on American soil. We want to make our goods here instead of shipping them in from other countries all over the world. They ship in, take the Americans' money, take the money, go home, take our jobs, take our companies. No longer, folks, no longer. We believe in those really magnificent words, made in the USA.
Made in America. Wouldn't that be nice? A lot more of that. But again, I go back to the Ford announcement. It seems to be an announcement just about every day of an American company, an important American company, reinvesting in this nation, in the workers here, in the workforce, in the people, and in the American dream, if you will. So that's the good news that we take away each day. Now, the stock market reported responding positively yesterday because of the infrastructure possibilities coming forth. Plus, because the conversation of healthcare isn't over, and the stock market responding again positively, because it seems that the American Healthcare Act or some derivative thereof will be coming back around. It's 52 after. You're listening to the Steve Gruber Show.